You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
I wanna welcome you to Rebel Radio. Rebel Radio. With Bosco and Electro Spin. Electro Spin on Rebel Radio. Yeah. Fuck you, Josh.
What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up? This is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
Keep checking out Rebel Radio.
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We're in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
What did you say, Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio.
What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to Rebel Radio. It's the weekly show where I talk to the rebels that are shaping youth culture. We find out how they do it, why they do it, and what you can do to get a little piece of the pie for yourself. We're also the only show that features new music every week from our friends over at EDM.com. Check it out. We are back this week with my man Bosco. He was on the show last week. If you caught that episode, we talked about his history coming up in hip-hop's formative years and what that meant to a young man entering the hip-hop game. We also talked about our history as client and manager. And this week, we are on to part two of that interview. We talk about Bosco's new tech startup, Electro Spit, how he's about to revolutionize the talk box. If you're not familiar with the talk box, it's an instrument you might have heard on any of Roger Troutman's music, or if you listen to Chromeo. Or you might have heard Bosco playing it on Kanye's new workout plan, or many, many E40 songs, or lots of other great records that Bosco's produced. He's going to tell us about how he's made the shift from producer to entrepreneur, some things he's learned along the way, and also his wife Maya is going to join us and talk about how they're building a business together. It's good stuff coming up on Rebel Radio right after our EDM.com track of the week. MPH with All Along, our EDM.com track of the week. Now let's get into the interview with Bosco. Okay, I don't want to take your whole day asking you questions.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep jumping ahead.
Yeah. Okay.
So talk about Electro Spit. I mean, you know, like I said at the beginning, you know, you've always played the talk box. I know you've played it on a lot of records.
Mm-hmm.
Kanye and others.
Yeah.
But creating your own technology is a huge jump. So where does that, where'd that come from?
I might bring Maya in to get in on some of this too. But so I started playing the talk box. I always loved the talk box. When I won that set of turntables when I was in middle school, the song I was dancing to was More Bounce of the Ounce. And one of my neighbors used to ride us around in the 6.5 Impala when I'm in middle school, and he would take us to high school, and that's all we would listen to is that. So I always loved that sound. I started, when I got the deal with Atlantic, I bought a talk box. Didn't know how to use it. Papa LQ or Laquan, Kenny Kingpin now, connected me with Battlecat. Battlecat showed me how to use the talk box correctly, because I don't know what I was doing wrong, but I wasn't doing it right. And so after that, I started integrating it into all my production, or a lot of my production, and became known for that sound. So on a lot of E40 records, from the Element of Surprise on, you hear lots of talk box.
Rebel Radio is brought to you by LinkedIn. Are you hiring for your company? Are you looking for a job? Either way, I'm sure you're on LinkedIn, and if you're not, you definitely should be. Over 70% of the U.S. workforce is on LinkedIn. It gives you access to quality candidates. And the people, the candidates on LinkedIn are rated 40% better than on the job boards. So instead of posting your job to a job board and just hoping for the best, let's go where the people are. LinkedIn is the world's largest professional network. More than 22 million people view and apply to jobs every week. So don't miss out. Go get the best people and grow your business. Let's make businesses together and talk about it on Rebel Radio. Go to LinkedIn.com/Rebel. I'll give you a $50 credit towards your first job post just for listening to Rebel Radio. That's LinkedIn.com/Rebel. Get a free $50 credit from me to you. Terms and conditions apply.
And so fast forward, Mike Caron went up the ranks at Atlantic, had signed T.I., brought me to do talk box on this record that Kanye West was producing. Kanye loved what I did on the talk box and said, hey, come out to New York, jump on my record. I didn't think anything of
That's
it.
That's the new workout?
Yeah. And we did the workout record. It was Kanye and John Legend and me all together collaborating on the record.
Amazing.
And boom. I introduced him to E. It just so happened that E40 was in town when I was doing that record, and I introduced Kanye to E40.
So, that's an interesting combo.
Yes. They ended up doing a remix together not too long after that.
Okay.
So that obviously Kanye's record became huge, and Workout Plan was a single, and we did the Workout Plan live on the American Music Awards.
Right.
But unfortunately, the talk box is very cumbersome. It's got all these pieces. You got the tube and the
just
talk
so,
box
so for people that don't know, like, you have to actually put a plastic tube in your mouth.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, that seems not.
It's not. It's
it's terrible.
Yeah. It works and it sounds great, but it's this. You know, you got.
But you can't understand why so few people.
It's got to sound like this, and it's hard to talk. You know. So it had a lot of problems, basically, and I had to lip sync, you know, and I wanted to get out there and freestyle and be going back and forth, you know, with Kanye saying his name and box, whatever, but I couldn't do that. I just had to dance around, and it got me thinking.
On the
American Music Awards, when I couldn't perform, and there were some other performances I could have done with Kanye too, but I couldn't even do them at all because they didn't have time to set the talk box up or whatever. So it's like, I gotta fix this. I gotta figure out, like, how can I make a mobile talk box? And you actually see me dancing on stage with my dream of a mobile talk box, which is just a keyboard with a tube I'm holding. Uh-huh. It's not even connected. I had the tube in my hand. So fast forward, I continue to do, you know, a bunch of big talk box features with J. Cole and Limp Bizkit and Janelle Monáe and Flo Rida and blah, blah, boom, boom, boom. But the music industry was changing, and there was consolidation.
Sure.
There was piracy, you know, and it just the production fees weren't the same as they were. And I was looking for another way to, like, kind of reinvent my career and my business, I found this.
You were looking for a studio.
I moved to the Bay, and I was looking for a studio, and I called Kool Nuss. Actually hooked me up with Chief XL from Blackalicious to help, because he said, oh, Chief, he might know. I called him, he's like, oh man, I said, do you know any good studios that I could rent? He's like, man, come use my studio. Like, well, how much you want to charge? She's like, no charge. Just, you can just use it. Cause
I don't know if you want to publicize that.
But that, see,
Chief lying gonna be ringing like, bruh, how come you ain't let me come through?
What you gotta understand is Chief XL. He in the Bay. I'm a legend. He introduces me as, this is Bosco. This is right. He's a production legend.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you have a studio and someone who's like one of the producers that you've been looking up to sure. your whole career yeah, says, yeah. can I use your studio? Then the answer is yes, anytime.
Of course.
And I wasn't really thinking like that when I asked him, and that wasn't what I was asking for, but he was really generous and allowed me to use his studio. And just so happens that at that studio, the studio was founded by David Watson, who was an ex-Google engineer who had a interest and passion for music, and his wife Vanitha founded a music accelerator, which is based on the Y Combinator model of taking, you know, startup companies and providing them with resources, money, connections, mentorship to help accelerate the growth of the company. And they asked me on the first day I went to see Chief XL Studio, Vanitha and Chief asked me if I would be a mentor to some of the artists that were going through the residency. And I was like, yeah, cool. And then they asked me about what was going on with my career. And the more I started to hear about what they were doing at the residency, which was applying startup concepts and startup techniques, Silicon Valley startup techniques to music, I'm already a technology, you know, a forward thinker. I have been, you know, I had done a startup company previously and raised $2.5 million for a startup in the .com era. So it was already in my mind. I was like, this is something I need to be a part of.
Yeah.
And they invited me to apply. And so that was the opportunity to take this talk box idea, this mobile talk box, and turn it into a business. So I recruited my wife. First I recruited Pete Miser, who I had grown up with doing the production and part of the hip hop scene, and I had a tremendous respect for as a producer and just really, really smarty. Done all of this licensing for like Super Bowl commercials. He was a dope producer, a visual artist. And just a really cool, smart guy. And then I got this guy named Lance Coleman, who's a really dynamic MC and a digital strategist. He was working with my friend Brian Calhoun doing like Facebook and a digital strategy for Nicki Minaj and Lil Wayne.
Okay.
He was like the behind the scenes guy. So we created this music group, and I needed another person, so I needed somebody to do marketing. And I've been watching Maya do, like, you know, we always have arguments about, like, not arguments is this too strong of a word, but I'm like,
yeah, watch yourself.
Yeah, I'm getting in trouble.
Debate.
Yeah, debates.
Spirited debate.
I'm like, why are you always on Instagram? We're looking on Instagram. And why don't you use that power for good? And so I said, well, why don't you help us with the marketing and be part of the team? And she said, yeah, well, if you don't have anybody else, I guess I'll do it. I'll throw you a bone and jump on your squad. And so we went through, we got accepted, we applied to the accelerator with our a concept of a band that was had a signature talk box that we kind of used as merch. Mm-hmm. And after going through the accelerator, we did all these workshops, one in particular, which was called Futures Thinking, where you look at trends that have happened in the past 5-10 years mm-hmm. and see how they brought you to where you are in the present, and then look at those trends and extrapolate like another 5 years in the future, and you try to place yourself and your business in wow. in the future.
Love it.
And so one of the trends that I had witnessed was the music studio started at this, you know, huge studio with tapes and all that, then it moved to the desktop computer, and which I was a part of. I created mm-hmm. the actually recorded out, so I didn't have the money to have all of the big studio stuff at the time when I was working with E40 initially. So I had Pro Tools, and we recorded the first gold album, hip hop, using Pro Tools. That was Element nice. Of Surprise.
No way.
Even though the streets are filthy, life's burnt out. Out dope means now it and dinners in their mouth. Niggas are starving. Some of my niggas is having their cash. Niggas is balling. Walking their car up on the grass. Living it up to the fullest. Platinum color jewels and organized class. Not none of those fake ass costume jewelry that looks like grass. I'm looking out the window while you play Nintendo. You drive a Navigator. I drive a Pinto. I was there.
So I was already kind of on that path. But then the next one was the laptop. And then we saw it going in the future to the phone, where you can create your whole song on the phone.
Yeah.
And everybody has this music studio in your pocket.
Yeah.
And we started thinking, how can we be part of that revolution or support that revolution? And so instead of taking this talk box and just making it mobile, let's make it work with the phone. Let's mm-hmm. think about other uses that the app can make it more, give it more functionality. Mm-hmm. And then that came together so well, we flipped the whole business. Instead of being this band with this merch of this signature talk box, let's just make the talk box the company, and the band will use the music to promote and right. our relationships.
Yeah.
And I have a mechanical engineering degree from USC, which I hadn't really been using. I had just been doing sure. music production, but I was like a top student, dean's list, all through school. So this was a perfect opportunity for me to start using that part of my education, and the accelerator and the support that we received at Zoo Labs was amazing. And the mentors that we got in contact with, and it just. We started building this this mobile talk box, and it's been the ride has been amazing.
Yeah. What did you learn doing crowdfunding?
Learned a lot.
Okay.
Learned a lot about crowdfunding and
you know. I need to bring Maya in, because I'm sure that I'm there's a lot of parts of this story.
Give us some lessons
that I've missed.
No, because crowdfunding, first of all, I think it's amazing that it exists and
yeah.
the products can get made or
right.
ideas can
right.
can get launched right through this outside of all the traditional funding and distribution and all that. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I think that the flip side to that is it calls on certain skill sets that people don't necessarily have, right? And so because you've developed a great idea or a great product, mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily mean you know how to do that one piece of it.
Right.
So so I see a lot of people, you know, trying things and learning and making mistakes and whatever.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. You know, it's similar to the idea of an artist being overnight success, how people right. will see this artist and not realize that there's all of this marketing and strategy that has taken place behind the scenes before you hear this song that you think is an overnight success. Mm-hmm. And it's similar with the crowdfunding. The campaigns that have done really well, they have a lot of thought put into them, and it's not like this
for sure.
this thing that that people think it is. It's like, oh, so and so just had an idea and they put it on Kickstarter, and now yeah. it's a business. It's like, no, they had to have a business plan
yeah.
in place before.
Well, they should have.
They should have. The ones that are successful do
yeah,
have
yeah, for sure.
And
even the videos, right? Like, there's a
yeah.
certain right and wrong ways to do those videos. Right.
And before we approached the idea of doing a crowdfunding, we weren't aware that there are actual agencies that focus specifically on that. And so that's been a learning curve for us, is learning, you know, which ones are scams.
What
can you expect from? I mean, there's some that are known for being a scam because they back products that are actually pieces of shit. You're buying into this thing that you think you're going to get, and it's going to do all these great things. It slices, it dices, it's, you know, whatever. You get there and it doesn't work at all. So, and then there's others who will take, you know, a percentage up front to do your marketing, and then they'll take a percentage off the back end of what you earn from Kickstarter. So then what you end up with is nothing to run your business, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's all these pitfalls that you have to be aware of when you're approaching a campaign, and you have to mostly look at it as a way to build your audience and gain more attention and be able to market to those customers after the crowdfunding and gain loyal customers from them knowing your story and knowing all of the steps that it took for you to create that product, rather than it being a one-time, one-and-done transaction. And it's like I said, it's more of a marketing piece. It's not where you start your business. It's something that you use to advertise your business and continue to grow loyal customers.
But I think it speaks to what you were talking about earlier, just that is being, you know, allowing people into the story, right? And whether it's the story behind a song,
right,
or a product,
right.
Maya has basically transformed the whole business. Like, starting one of the things that I wanted to do with ElectroSpit was to talk about topics and ideas in our music that I hadn't had a chance to talk about. You know, as you get more mature, the message that we want to, that I wanted to share, and ElectroSpit was about positive affirmations, using technology to technology had allowed me to achieve all of these things in life. It enhances my creativity when I make music. It helps my business deals, using reading and just learning and studying has helped my relationships. So that's the kind of ideas that I wanted to share with ElectroSpit. Spit is something that never existed before. And by us learning all of these techniques and doing all of this research and applying our knowledge, we were able to create something that never existed before. And the team, like building that team was, you know, all of those different skill sets is what allowed us to create something special. And as the team goes on, right now it's Lance, and Lance is doing his own thing, and Pete is doing his own thing, and they still help us out in different ways. But Maya and I are the core team right now. And on Instagram, like I was saying behind the scenes, what we did was we went from an audience of basically zero.
100, because we had just kind of neglected the channel at all.
Yeah.
And then once we developed the idea, we had to go through a lot of user testing first to just to make sure that it was something that people wanted. And we had to do an ethnography. And we found out that people's identity is attached to music creation a lot of times, which was like eye-opening for us. So we had to find a way to connect the instrument with that that ideology and integrate it into people's lives. And so one of the ways that we found to do that is, like, you know, he's teasing me about flipping through Instagram. It's like, okay, so this is a way to connect with that audience directly and really start to talk to them. And so we didn't have a large following. I started, you know, growing the following, and we still didn't have a large following, but it was very targeted.
Yeah.
And so, like,
that's what matters.
Yeah. So we had, like, at one point, I mean, we still only have like 1300 right now, but at one point we had like 700. And just to do a test of the product, we said, okay, here's a prototype. You know, who wants to be a part of the early prototype testing? And we were selling them for like $200, and when we sold 20 of them in less than 24 hours. So that's nice. That's just like, you know, a test of if you really find the right audience and give them what they want. That's part of the design thinking, right? Mm-hmm. You know,
and that was part of Maya understanding Instagram, understanding how like what do you don't just take a cool picture. You take a picture of something that speaks to the people that you right. want involved in this product. We're talking sure. to music producers. There's a whole culture around music producers, a whole culture around talk boxers. Mm-hmm. You know, we always say that the worst insult for a talk boxer is
well, that's some nice auto-tune you're doing there. Of course. You really want to piss them off.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Just knowing that and right. and saying that on an Instagram post, then all of the talk boxers are going to connect with you. And, yeah. you know, and that's already my tribe, but Maya was like instrumental in being able to see that and deliver it to our followers and audiences and to build that community. And
it's led to a lot of connections for our business.
Like, I'm sure. You
know, like that's how we linked up with Teddy Riley, was through him seeing some of the posts on Instagram and people tagging him. And yeah. And who else?
Well, indirectly, through Tiana Taylor,
right,
was indirectly mm-hmm. through Instagram,
that's right,
which led to Chromeo,
right. That's
P-Thug.
Right. P-Thug is one of the investors in the company, and so cool. Yeah.
Want to be by yourself and no one else? All right. All right. And you want to go out? Want to scream and shout tonight?
All of that came largely from Maya's understanding of the platform and how to craft our messages to get to.
Well, it's been a synergy because obviously with Bosco's credibility.
It doesn't hurt.
Bosco being, you know, the top, a known talk box artist. If I had just come out of nowhere and said, you know, start putting out these messages, people would be like, yeah, that's great. Whatever. You know, whatever. But
but I think it really speaks to the. You know, the importance of truly understanding your customer.
Yeah.
Right.
And right. And so many companies, they make a product because they can make it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Either they saw one out there and they just put right. their own label on it right. or, yeah. you know, I mean, that's how most products are made and released.
And yeah. this is not a Me Too product. This yeah. is the product that I needed to solve my problem to be able to play right. the instrument that I've loved for my, you know, entire career.
And that's great, but unless you open up that story to other people, right. then it's just going to be your product.
Right. Right. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. I had to, and there was a certain period of time where I felt like I didn't want to let anybody else uh-huh. know the talk box secrets uh-huh. or whatever. But yeah. I had to get past that
yeah.
and understand that, you know, everybody's unique. There's all, you know, everybody.
Was there something you did that helped you get past that?
I'm going to say for me, because I had the same kind of a idea or a feeling that he had, like, oh no, that's going to make Bosco not special now, you know?
Yeah.
But somebody said to me, if you put an electric guitar in somebody's hands,
yeah.
they're not automatically going to become Jimi Hendrix, right? So
Definitely.
The art is within the artist.
That's
it's
right.
not in the instrument,
yeah.
right? So we can give as many people, and we're hoping that there's going to be some people that do as
and
well
Eric
as Bosco and,
you know,
and,
of course.
Or whoever. Like,
Van
another
Halen,
thing is,
there's all kinds of, there's lots of space for other.
Right, because sure. Bosco right. is not Peter Frampton, right. and they're both successful. Bosco's not Chrome, I'm not a P Thug right. from Chromeo, right. and you know, right. vice versa. So there's room for everybody.
That's that maturity creeping up on
yeah.
you.
Right. That's that maturity thing, man. We needed that a little bit a while ago.
Hey, if you haven't already, go back and listen to last week's episode. We had part one with Bosco. We talked all kind of funny stories about us coming up together and what that was like. Let me know what you think about that one, but finish up with this one too. I got to ask you some, I got a lightning round.
Okay.
Before
okay.
we finish that, I got to ask you.
Okay.
Okay, tell me one decision that changed your life forever.
Ooh.
Better be good. No pressure.
No pressure. Well, A Mary and Maya.
Okay.
Which was going to the ski weekend in Whistler that year.
Nice.
So that was huge because she's been just my life has improved in so many different ways by being together with her. Instead of besides just being in love and having fun, the becoming more enlightened and being more better in touch with my emotional maturity and my health and the way that we've become business partners to build ElectroSpit. Mm-hmm. It's just been fantastic. We're just having a great time right now. So definitely big one.
I mean, I can see that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to belabor it, but like, you know, at that time when we were working together, like I wasn't just your manager, I was managing your best friend, your girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah.
And probably somebody else.
Yeah.
So you saw all the shitty relationships that he had.
Well, you know, it's interesting because like I've learned a lot today that I didn't know, even though, you know, we've known each other 25 years. And you know, and that's like part of why I like to do this because I get to ask questions. But you know, when you're a bunch of young guys, like you know, there's so many things you just don't talk about.
Talk about, yeah.
You know, and you know, granted, like a lot of what we did talk about was business, but you know, personal things came up here and there, especially that you know, I was managing him and his girlfriend, and there was
a lot of turmoil.
Sometimes you would see, you know, things creep into the business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the business creeps into the personal or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, complete this sentence. I don't have talent, I have blank.
I have determination.
That's good.
I have determination.
Okay, so if I worked for you, which I did.
Yeah.
But I don't remember the answer to this question. What's something I would hear you say over and over?
Over and over. Probably. Did you hear back from Def Jam?
No.
Okay. I think I remember hearing that.
Now. Now.
Who would you be most excited to learn as a fan of your work?
Oh. Ooh. Probably Stevie Wonder. Just because he's my favorite artist of all time. So that would be really cool.
He might have a talk box record in him.
In the works, right? I actually met his DJ recently.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I didn't know Stevie had a DJ.
Well, he's not his DJ, like personal DJ, but he's the DJ at his radio station.
Oh, the program
director. And so, you know, hopefully we will have a Stevie Wonder ElectroSpit collaboration. Signature. Yeah.
That's very cool. What's your favorite city to travel to?
Ooh, man.
United States or abroad?
Just period. Miami. Love Miami.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It's so easy to get there.
It's great.
You don't have any of the hassle of like when you travel overseas, you got to, you know, deal with customs and you know, sometimes your phone doesn't work, whatever.
First worlder.
Yeah, but when you go to Miami, it's
no,
easy
that's right.
And you're right on the beach and there's great food and music and people. Yeah, beautiful
Love
people.
Miami.
Man, Miami's awesome.
What's the last great book you read?
Ooh.
We've been reading a lot of fourth grader books.
Yeah.
Of course.
You know, this isn't the last most recent great book, but maybe the most impactful maybe in a long time was A 4-Hour Work Week.
Yeah.
And I know that it's you know, it's a little older now, but I have definitely taken to heart a lot of the techniques from that book and the ideology of eliminating unnecessary information, unnecessary tasks, trying to automate things that you know don't need to be.
I think one of the most
I want to go back and read it again because I took a lot of when I read it, and then some of those things, you know, you let them go.
Let them go.
I think one of the most important concepts for me out of that book was not having this delayed view of retirement. Just thinking like, when I get this age, then I'll be done, and then I'm like, you want to enjoy life now.
Enjoy life now. Yeah, that's huge.
What movie have you seen the most in your life?
Probably The Matrix.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I love The Matrix.
Nice.
Yeah, this the whole concept just blew my mind out of the gate. You know that there's this whole other world, and then I love the technology aspect. And we're only talking about the first one.
Yeah, for sure. The first one.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite DJ of all time?
That's the tough one. That's hard. Jazzy Jeff.
Mine too.
Yeah, Jazzy Jeff.
Yeah.
He was, like, there were all these DJs that I loved, like, prior, but he was just so dope on all the records he did with the Fresh Prince and learning the Transform Scratch and all that. And yep, Jazzy Jeff.
Dope. All right, so how does everybody find Electro Spit?
So search for Electro Spit. Mobile Talk Box on Kickstarter, and you can find us there. You can definitely go to electrospit.com. That's electrospit.com. And you can find us that way. And Instagram is at electrospit.
Okay, good.
And we'll probably have some YouTube stuff up by then, but those are the main channels.
That's exciting, man. I imagine we're going to see more Talk Box players. Because of this, people that, you know.
Yeah, you know what? It's a growing subculture that people are becoming more aware of. Like, there's, like, when we first started this, one of the jokes was like, what are there, 100 talk boxers? Right. Like, what do you do with this?
Yeah, it seems very niche.
Yeah, but once we started really looking into it, there's like, you know, 40,000 people following the hashtag. We got recently some software that shows the searches on Amazon. 6,500 people are searching for TalkBox Tube on Amazon every month.
Nice.
So there's definitely a growing awareness of it. We always used to call it the your favorite instrument that you never heard of, because it's constantly winning Grammys. Right. Like, I mean, look at this past Grammy. We got Mr. TalkBox on 24 Karat Magic. He's also that same. They sampled that for Loyalty. Kendrick Lamar and Rihanna.
Kenny them. My resume is real enough for two millenniums. A better way to make a way, start defending them. I meditate and moderate all of my wins again. I'm hanging on the fence again. I'm always on your mind. I put my lyric and my lifeline on the line. And ain't no limit when I might shine, might grind. You rolling with it at the right time, right now. Only for the dollar sign.
Bad girl, living now. Swear, leaving now. On your pulse, I can see the end. Yes, I'm a bitch, sex premium.
And then there's another reggae song that won with TalkBox on it. So, I mean, it's, you know, back from the 70s all the way to now, it's been topping the charts. But if you put it in front of listeners, the actual instrument, they couldn't tell you what it is.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So we're changing that with this. We're putting TalkBoxers in front and connecting people with the sound that they already love.
That's great. I love it. Well, I'm proud of you guys. Doing your thing.
And, thank you.
You know, seeing you build this together is inspirational.
Thank you.
I can't wait to see what's next.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Bosco on Rebel Radio. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. Make sure you leave us a review on iTunes. Hit us on Twitter or Facebook at Rebel Radio Net. Check out our YouTube page at Rebel Radio Net. And most importantly, come back next week for more Rebel Radio. Peace.